Welcome to the Will of God in the Life and the Writings of the Servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, O Divine Will, may our feet journey together. May our hands gather in unity. May our hearts beat in unison. May our souls be in harmony. May our thoughts be as one. May our ears listen to the silence together. May our glances profoundly penetrate each other. May our lips pray together to gain mercy from the Eternal Father for all the human race. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mary, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome again to the Will of God in the Life and the Writings of the Servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. Today we will continue with Volume 21. The next passage comes from May 12, 1927. And the title is, Just as Our Lord Did by Forming Redemption Rather Than Freeing Us from All Chastisements, so it is for one who must form the kingdom of the divine fiat. A power prevents Luisa's death. How God calls souls to form laws and to rule the world. Luisa Picarreta writes, I fell opposed, not only because of the privation of my sweet Jesus, but because of the continuous threats of grave chastisements. Near wars and revolutions, with methods so infernal as to be horrifying. O God, what pain, being forced by a supreme power to see these evils, the blindness of leaders of nations who wanted the destruction of the peoples, and my impotence in holding back the divine justice with my sufferings. In order to spare the peoples so many evils. So I felt the weight of life, and I ardently longed for the celestial fatherland, since I was unable to arrest the course of so many evils with my sufferings. Luisa Picarreta is experiencing the suffering of seeing all the evils. All the evil that man is able to do. Our Lord Jesus, very often, he shows Luisa Picarreta all the great evils and all the sin that offends the Lord. Luisa Picarreta is a victim soul. In her suffering, she offers prayers, sacrifices, her own suffering for the good of others. A victim soul who suffers to mitigate, to appease the justice of God. And she tells us that in seeing all these horrifying things, she wants to die. She wants to go to the fatherland, she says. Our Lord Jesus, in another part of the Book of Heaven, tells Luisa that this suffering of hers is necessary so that the divine attribute of justice can be a peace. Justice is an attribute of God that demands to be given what it belongs to this attribute. Sanctity is an attribute of God. Justice is an attribute of God. Love is an attribute of God. Mercy is an attribute of God. And when the creature sins, when the creature turns again our God and Father, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sanctifier, when we turn against our Maker, the divine attribute of justice demands that we must be punished. So when the Lord shows Himself to Luisa Picarreta, when He shows all these things, when He shows Luisa Picarreta all the evil things that are going on in the world, is so that Luisa Picarreta will offer her suffering for all these things. And she did. She endured a great deal of pain. And she offered this in union with Jesus, so that the divine majesty will spare us, the whole world, from all the punishment that we deserve. This is exactly what our Lord Jesus did. He, who is true God and true man, took upon himself our sin, our guilt, and he stood before our God and Father to pay for all our sin, our iniquities, for all. And he wants us to recognize that he has paid this price. He wants us to turn away from sin and to be united to his will. He can bring us back to the Father. That's why it is so important for us to create the dispositions in our souls by frequenting the sacrament of reconciliation. The sacrament of reconciliation is essential for us to live this way, to be united to the will of God, because we have to be in the state of grace. Then we have to desire to live this way, and Jesus will do everything in us. Luisa Picarreta continues, and she says, "My beloved Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, 'My daughter, do not think I should have given more. Had I freed the peoples from the chastisements they deserve because of so many sins, rather than forming redemption? The chastisements were temporary pains. The redemption was an eternal good which never ends.'" Redemption refers to Jesus coming, taking our humanity, paying for our offenses, redeeming us before God our Father. And this eternal good, he says, never ends, because everybody is able to be saved. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross redeemed the first man, Adam and Eve, the people at his time. He redeemed us, and even those who are not born yet. He redeemed the last man, woman, child who is ever gonna live. The chastisements are temporary, They only last for a period of time. But the redemption in our Lord Jesus, what he bought for us, is open to all the human race. Had I freed them from chastisements, I would not have opened heaven from them, nor given them the right to glory. Instead, by forming redemption, I opened heaven for them, and I placed them on the way to the celestial fatherland, giving them the lost glory. He opened the doors for us. He gave us access to regain what we lost by the first sinning of Adam and Eve. Through redemption, he opened the door to heaven. When one must do a greater good, he must content himself with placing the minor good aside. More so, since the minor was to serve the balance of justice. And my humanity could not, nor did it want to oppose this divine balance. Furthermore, the chastisements were to serve as a call for the creatures, as voices speaking to the creatures, as entries in order to shake them from the sleep of sin, in order to place them on the way, as light in order to lead them to the house of the eternal Father. All the chastisements, he tells us, the purpose of all these chastisements that we see in the world is not to destroy us. Since God is love and mercy, he loves us, he created us out of love. He doesn't want to destroy us. He doesn't delight in our death, the psalm tells us, but he delights in the conversion of all of us. He wants us to turn away from sin, and he uses nature, he tells us also, to chastise us, that we may be purged, that we may be cleansed, that we may come back to our senses, that we may be guided. All of these things, all these chastisements, is a wake-up call. Now the Lord is telling us, come back to me, come back to me. The prophet Joel in the Old Testament tells us exactly this. God tells us this through the prophet Joel. Come back to me, render your hearts and not your garments. Render your hearts and not your garments. So the purpose of all these chastisements that Luisa Picarreta sees in this revelation, our Lord tells us, is so that the creature will come back to him, will turn away from sin. So all these chastisements are voices, are calls. It's a wake-up call, a light to guide us back to the Father. Therefore, they too were means to make them receive the goods of redemption, and I did not want to destroy these helps. This is why, in spite of my coming upon earth, the peoples were not completely exempted from the chastisements they deserve. We indeed deserve the chastisements because of our sin. The Lord uses these chastisements to call us back. We don't have to wait for the chastisements to happen. If we turn back to God with all our heart, our soul, if we surrender to Him, if we give up our will to Him, if we unite our will to Him with every single act, our Lord will relent. These chastisements do not have to happen. If we turn back to the Lord will relent. The purpose of these chastisements is that we turn back to the Lord. We have the sacrament of confession. The Lord is waiting for all of us there to give us His peace, His pardon, His forgiveness, His love, to cleanse us through His precious blood. As the priest pronounces the words of absolution over the penitent, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ runs from head to toe and makes the penitent clean, forgiving sins. The love of God is there. So let us surrender to our Lord. Let us surrender to God. Do not get tired of the sacrament of confession. Do not give up. If you fall, pick up your cross. Take courage. Be humble. It takes humility to go to confession. It takes a great deal of humility to go to confession, to accuse ourselves of the things we have done wrong. Confession forces us to look inside ourselves and to see the things that we are doing wrong. It's grace that God has given us to be able to see inside ourselves. It's grace. The priest, we are not there to judge you. We are there to impart this gift that God wants to give to all of you through this great sacrament. So do not be afraid of the sacraments. Do not be afraid of the sacrament of confession. Because even priests, we also need to go to confession. We are all sinners. We are all wounded. And again, priest, we are not there to judge you. We are there to be instruments. It is important to learn how to make a good confession, to examine ourselves and to accuse ourselves of what we have done wrong. In this way, the Holy Spirit will be able to do His work in us to really sanctify us. And we will be prepared to receive all the grace that emanates from this beautiful sacrament. Let's continue. Now, my daughter, you think you will have done more? Had you freed the peoples from the chastisements, which are so necessary in these times? And in seeing that this is not granted to you, life becomes bothersome for you, and you will want to come to the celestial fatherland. Luisa Picarreta, often when she sees all these chastisements that our Lord tells her are necessary, she wants to die. And our Lord says, no, these chastisements are necessary. Luisa Picarreta wants to free us, to free the people from receiving these chastisements through her sufferings. And sometimes she does it, and the Lord allows her to do it. But other times, the Lord says, no, it is necessary, it is time for chastisements. And when she feels she cannot help, she wants to die, and the Lord says, Luisa, it is necessary for you to let me chastise the people. It is necessary for the people to be chastised because of sin. Poor daughter, you are such a child in the knowledge of the good, the true goods, which are great, incalculable, and never-ending, and of the goods which are little and finite. Is not is greater to form the kingdom of my divine will? Is not greater to form the kingdom of my divine will in order to make it known? To prepare the way so as to let them enter into it, the light of his knowledge, in order to lead them, to give happiness and the original state of creation back to creatures, to enrich them with all the goods which a divine will contains? Our Lord Jesus is asking Luisa Picarreta about this, comparing the good produced if you had freed the peoples from all the chastisements with the great good of the kingdom of the supreme fiat. Our Lord tells us that these are necessary, these chastisements are necessary to form the kingdom of the divine will, because these chastisements remove sin from our midst, and in order for him to place, to establish the gift of the divine will upon earth, sin has to cease. That's why it starts with each one of us in our souls. We need to remove sin away from our souls. We need to be in the state of grace, because the Lord will remove sin by chastising us. And again, we don't have to wait for that. It is very clear what the Lord is asking us: to turn away from sin, to be reconciled with him. He invites us to be united with him. And the way we do this is, again, through the sacrament of reconciliation. The kingdom of the divine will has to be formed in us, in our souls. It happens with each one of us, a little by little. The divine will establishing its place, making its heaven in our souls. God resting in the soul of the creature. God possessing the soul of the creature. And the creature possessing God in his soul. That's where God wants to rest. God wants to rest in that temple that is not made by human hands. God wants to rest in our souls. And by resting in our souls, the powers of our souls, which is the free will, the intellect, and the memory, they will be immersed. They will be filled with the light of the divine will. Therefore, our actions will be inclined towards the good. Our intellect will contain the wisdom, the knowledge of God. And our memory will have in it the power of the Holy Spirit, God living in us. Our actions guided by a will who is informed, who is inclined in the ways of God. So it is very important for us to be in the state of grace again. The kingdom of the divine will has to be formed in our souls. The kingdom of the divine will, which is greater than everything and greater than chastisements, has to be established. Our Lord says to Luisa Picarreta, I keep you on earth for the kingdom of my will to be formed. This is your special mission, Luisa. This is the mission of Luisa Picarreta, to help establish the kingdom of the divine will here on earth. Luisa Picarreta, who is a creature like us, conceived in original sin like us, has been chosen by our Lord Jesus that through her we may learn how to live in this way. That through her, who is a creature like us, we may come to know how to possess this gift of living in the divine will. All the saints, they have a special mission. The mission of Luisa Picarreta is to help establish the gift of the divine will here on earth, to teach us. That's why she wrote so much, because through her writings, we come to know about this gift. That's why it is so important for us to read the Book of Heaven, to meditate on these writings, to make it part of our spiritual life. And along with the sacraments, along with sacred scripture and the catechism of the Catholic Church, to learn this way of living, to come to know how to live in the divine will, how to unite every single act that we do with the will of God, that we may be sanctified, that God may be glorified through us, that this gift of the divine will may be established in our hearts, in our souls, and may start reigning a little by little on earth as it reigns in heaven. Let's continue. But the terror I felt within me for the grave evils which Jesus had made me sin was so great that I would rather not be in this earth. And I thought to myself, It seems to me that a great adverse power moves dead away from me and forces me to cross the exile. Many times I feel as though I were about to die. And only a few months ago I felt as if I was about to reach my celestial residence. But everything went up in smoke. This adverse power drives me back, and I remain in the miserable prison of my poor humanity. Who will this power be that harms me so much? So it is that places. Who is it that places himself across my happiness? Who prevents my step, my flight, bearing my way and driving me back with such rude and cruel manners? Sometimes Luisa Picarreta, she feels that she's gonna die. This is what she wants. She wants to go to heaven, to the fatherland. She sees all this evil, so much offense. And it seems like she wants to die. And she experiences this force that does not let her die. Our Lord explains to her that this force is heaven and all the saints in heaven. The mission of the victim souls is to offer sacrifice, to endure pain, to appease the divine justice, to share in the suffering of Christ. That's why it is very important that whenever we encounter any suffering, any illness, instead of turning against God, we should unite that suffering, that pain, to the suffering of Christ, that it may become a redemptive suffering. When somebody is sick and the priest anoints that person with the sacrament of the sick, that person is united to the cross of Christ. And then that suffering becomes redemptive suffering. As if Jesus was suffering again, we become another Jesus suffering for the good of all the human race. Luisa Picarreta writes, "But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and told me, 'My daughter, do not afflict yourself too much. You hurt yourself very much, and I suffer in seeing you suffer like this. Do you want to know who this great adverse power is? It is the whole heaven that places itself across your steps, your fight, your flight, preventing you from coming into the celestial fatherland so long for by you. But do you know why? Because they want to see in you complete the kingdom of my will. They themselves, all the celestial residents, want to be restored in the honor and the glory which is missing in them. Because my will was not complete, because my will was not complete in them when they were on earth. Therefore, they want to see this will of mine in you being complete within you in order to receive through you their complete glory. When we do acts in the divine will, we are making up for what all the saints didn't do, for what all those who are in heaven didn't do here. What is lacking in them, we are making up. As St. Paul tells us, we are making up in our body what is lacking in the body of Christ. And the Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta, this is the force that keeps you from coming into heaven, because the saints, they want to see their glory complete. They want to see all their acts done in the divine will, what they couldn't do, what they didn't do. They want these acts to be done so that they can receive the glory that otherwise they should have received. So that God the Father can receive all the glory that He didn't receive on their behalf. That's why He tells us that this is the greatest good. Because when one single act done in the divine will, we can give praise, glory, honor, and adoration to God the Father, not only on our behalf, but on behalf of all the human race. This is why when they see that you are about to take flight into heaven, all the power of heaven objects to it and vigorously opposes your steps. However, know that this power of heaven is not your enemy, but your friend. It loves you very much, and it does this for your good. Our Heavenly Father loves us because He created us out of love. Heaven itself loves us because we belong to heaven. We don't belong to this world. Heaven is our fatherland. And our Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John tells us that in His Father's house there are many dwelling places, and He has prepared a place for us. So we should be filled with faith and love and courage, knowing that there is a place prepared for us, that Jesus Himself has prepared that place for us. So remember this when you encounter sickness and suffering and pain. Know that there is a place prepared for you. Know that we don't belong to this world. Know that we don't have to be chastised to turn back to God. He wants us to turn back to Him in love, in obedience, with every single act of ours done in the divine will. Know, my daughter, that the one who will form the kingdom of my will on earth will form the complete crown of their glory in heaven. If we do acts in the divine will, we are completing what we are supposed to complete here. And our Lord tells us that we will receive our crown in heaven, the crown of glory. If we do acts in the divine will, every single act opens the door for us to go higher, to get closer to the divine majesty. Because every single act that we do expands our capacity to receive more light of God, to become more like He is. Every single act done in the divine will makes us more like God, expands our capacity to receive and to give, brings us closer to Him who created us, allows us to receive what He wants to give us, and allows us to receive what others don't want to receive, or they couldn't receive, or they chose not to receive. Our Lord says, and do you think it is trivial that they are expecting this complete glory of the Supreme Fiat from a sister of theirs, meaning all the saints in heaven? So say together with me, our Lord Jesus says to Lisa, say together with me, Fiat, Fiat, Fiat. This is something that we can say. This is a very simple prayer that we can all say, that we can all memorize. Fiat, let it be done to me according to your word. Let it be, not my way, but your way, Lord. Fiat, Fiat, Fiat. If we have the intention to unite ourselves with the Lord with this simple prayer, Fiat, 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 our Lord sees the intentions of our hearts. We cannot deceive the Lord. Perhaps we can deceive people, we can deceive ourselves, but we cannot deceive the Lord. He sees every intention. He sees every motive behind every single act that we do. That's why the golden rule says, we desire it, and Jesus does it in us. He does everything. If we really have the desire to live this way, Jesus will do everything. We don't even have to repeat it aloud. We just have the desire to do everything in the divine will, to eat in the divine will, to walk in the divine will, to do everything in the divine will, to pray. We don't even have to say it, as long as we desire it. As you advance in this spirituality, you will discover that you don't even have to say it. You just will it. You make your intention known to God, that you want to eat in the divine will, that you want to sleep in the divine will, that you want to work in the divine will. Many people, when they are learning about this spirituality, they always say, with your will, with your will, with your will. And this is something that is necessary, because by practicing this habit, it becomes part of us. It becomes a second nature to us. So at the beginning, I will say it is necessary. As you grow in this spirituality, as long as you have the intention to do all your acts in the divine will, you don't even have to repeat it aloud. Let's continue. I remain afflicted, but all immersed in the divine will, and my sweet Jesus added, my daughter, when I call souls in a special and extraordinary way, I act like a king When he chooses his ministers and together with them he forms the laws and dominates and rules the kingdom. By doing so, I call these souls to participate in my dominion, informing the laws which rule the whole world. Our Lord compares the souls whom he calls to live this way to the ministers who help in the kingdoms. The king surrounds himself with people who share his vision, with people who loves him, with people who wanted and who love the kingdom. That's why when he sees that souls want to live this way, the Lord gives to that soul all the graces. The Lord tells us in other part of the Book of Heaven that to those who oppose the divine will, he will confuse them. It is a great consolation to know that the Lord has given us this great gift. The fact that we know about this gift, that we have the knowledge, that the writings about this gift are available, that we can immerse ourselves in the divine will, is a blessing. So we must not squander this blessing. We must not squander this treasure. We must not squander our acts. We should do all our acts in the divine will, because every single act is a precious, divine, eternal, Trinitarian act. Since I have called you in a special way to make you live in the royal palace of my will, my volition itself brings you my most intimate secrets and shows you the grave evils, the wars, the infernal preparations which will destroy many cities, and your littleness unable to bear the sight of these grave evils, justly wants to come to heaven. However, know that many times the ministers dissuade the king from forming punishing laws, and if they do not obtain everything, they always obtain something. Always obtain something. I have called you, the Lord says to Lisa Picaretta, to live this way, to live in the royal palace of my will. And this is the same call that he's given to all of us who know about this great gift. The fact that you are listening to me through this program is a sign, is a confirmation that the Lord wants you to live this way. It's a confirmation that the Lord is pleased with you learning about this great gift, knowing about this gift, uniting yourself with his will. It's a confirmation that you have to live in this way, that you have to embrace the divine will in your life with every single act, that the divine will has to be the priority in your life. Because by doing this, you are fulfilling the first commandment, love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. By doing this, you are laying down your life so that those in the past who didn't live in this way may receive grace. So those who are living now and those who do not give praise and glory to the Father, you can do it for them on their behalf. You can make up. And for those who are coming in the future, we are opening the door for them that they may come to understand this gift and embrace it. And the Lord says there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for others. By living in the will of God, we lay down our life with every single act that we do. Because we die to ourselves with every single act. We decrease so that He may increase in us. He who is everything. He who is the supreme good. He who made us. He who loves us and created us. So do not be discouraged by difficulties, by sickness, by suffering. Offer those acts. See those things as graces that the Lord is giving you, as participations in His suffering, that the Lord is thinking of you in the midst of suffering. As He is enduring the cross, He thinks about each one of us, and He calls us to be with Him. So do not be afraid. The same will be for you, Luisa. If you do not obtain everything on earth, you will still obtain something. Our Lord tells us that our acts will not be wasted. Perhaps we are not going to obtain everything that he says, but you will obtain something according to our dispositions and according to his will. Therefore, take courage and let the flight of my will be continuous. Therefore, do not be discouraged and let the flight of my will be continuous. Let all your acts be done in the divine will. Do not let your acts be wasted, because every single act is precious in the eyes of God. Every single act united with his will is a voice, is a light, is a call. Every single act done in the divine will is a voice calling the divine will to descend upon earth as he reigns in heaven. I invite all of you to continue your study of the divine will. I encourage all of you to keep reading, to keep uniting yourself in the divine will, and to keep praying for this gift. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever. Amen.